Welcome to the Daily Dietitian Podcast. I am your host, Stacey Mitchell. I am so happy to have you here. My goal for this podcast is to break down the latest health topics and help clear the clutter in the messy world of nutrition and fitness. We hope to inspire, educate, and entertain all things wellness. Join us as we talk with experts in their fields on how to feel our best in our own body and mind. Hey there, thank you for joining us this week. I am so excited to welcome our guest, Christina Chu, a board-certified sports dietitian. Her mission is to assist athletes in reaching peak performance through nutrition. What stands out to me about Christina on social media is her refreshing, no-nonsense approach to providing the latest insights on optimal protein powders or supplements or electrolyte drinks and other essential nutrition tips. She just really cuts through the noise and delivers it straightforward, science-based advice that helps individuals discern what they truly need and what they can do without. She is the go-to expert in navigating the complex world of sports nutrition. Join us for this conversation. Well, Christina, it's so great to have you on the show. Will you introduce yourself and tell everyone who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Christina Chu. I'm a sports dietitian based out of Chicago. And I help athletes of all different levels, from youth to professional, in really optimizing their nutrition to support their performance, whether that be one-on-one work with athletes, team talks, doing lecture talks, or my work on my Patreon as well.
Awesome. What got you into this space? What was the interest that led you to sports nutrition?
Yeah. So sports nutrition was actually kind of a long journey. I knew I wanted to be a dietitian when I was in high school. So I knew when I applied to school that I wanted to go into a nutrition program, and there was nothing else. Like, I did not want to do anything else but nutrition. And thankfully saw that through all the way till the end. No big changes there. And everything in school, like, it confirmed exactly what I wanted to do. I really thought that I wanted to work in the corporate wellness space, working with people in the working industry, and helping them with, like, general wellness, general health, you know, disease prevention. And as I went throughout my curriculum, I realized, you know, maybe that's not the way I wanted to go about things. I really didn't want to, from a motivation standpoint, I didn't want to help people stop something from happening. I really wanted to help them excel. And I felt like a lot of the messaging around, like, general wellness was like, here's how we prevent you from doing this versus how we help you excel in X, Y, and Z. And then I realized the area that did have that was sports. You had these athletes who were really great at what they did physically and mentally too, but what they're missing from the nutrition perspective helps them excel in their sports and performance. And that's when I was like, all right, like, sports is a realm that I wanted to go in. It's funny because I think if you were to ask my classmates, they would have told you that I would have gotten into sports. I was like, no, what could athletes possibly need help with? But later on, working with athletes in my practicum, in my, like, rotations, I was like, wow, there's so much need for dietitians here. And this is exactly the space that I wanted to work in. So that's really how I dove into sports, and really started from the nutrition aspect, and then later kind of fell in love with the sports side of things.
Were you yourself involved in athletics?
Yeah. So in high school, I played tennis. And then I knew I really did not want to play competitively in college. I really wanted to focus on school. Like my sport, or like my big focus, was to become a dietitian, and playing a traditional sport would have pulled away from that. I would have had to focus on two things. But what I did do was I taught tennis in college. So I taught tennis lessons to adults and kids. And for me, I was like, well, this is one way to still be involved with a sport that I love, get paid, which is awesome as a college student. And I got paid above minimum wage because I had, you know, an additional skill, which was, like, unheard of. When you're like 18, you're like, heck yeah, anything above minimum wage, I love it. And then I was able to practice almost like coaching. Like, I started coaching when I was at a very young age. So it allowed me to get in front of all these adults at the time that I was like, you scare me because you are the adult and I'm the child. And be able to put that in reverse and have like that opportunity to be able to coach them. So it offered me a lot of skills, but I was a tennis instructor while I was in college.
That is so fun to hear. What are some of the common hiccups or misconceptions that athletes have when they really miss on their nutrition? Is it a certain macronutrient? Is it a supplement? What do you find that to be most common?
Yeah, I find that with my athletes, they tend to struggle the most with understanding how much that they need to eat. So athletes are, you know, we're all human, but athletes are kind of like this subset of group where their needs are higher than the average person. So if we think about this almost in like a clinical scenario, they're like the burn patients, or they're like the cancer patients who just have elevated needs because of what they're going through, which in this case is not a burn or chemo. It's just their lifestyle. Their lifestyle warrants a higher caloric need. And a lot of athletes don't understand, or maybe they do understand it, but it's not reflective in their diet at all, because oftentimes their family members are like, well, I need to eat less. And so they think that they need to eat less. So it's getting them to understand like the why behind their nutrition, and also like, you need to eat more. Most of my athletes typically when they come to me are under eating, and then we work on making sure that we're maximizing their energy with their like energy input with their energy output. So that's like the biggest hiccup that I see with a lot of my athletes. And then when it comes to, I guess, to address like macronutrients, I think for a lot of my athletes, they tend to struggle with their carbs. And this might sound funny because, you know, I think the general consensus is like, oh, Americans are eating too much carbs, like too many refined sugars. And in this case, again, a very small subset of people, the carbs can be like their superpower. The carbs can be something that will help them with their athletic performance. And it is something that helps them with the athletic performance, but getting them to think, hey, you are not the average American person who's just trying to not have heart disease. Like, you are someone that's trying to compete at an elite level, push your body to the max limit. You cannot eat like the average American person. So there are opportunities where like, yes, you will need to have the refined sugars. Is that when you're recovering at home playing video games? No. But is it before you're about to go run, you know, 26, 22 miles? Yes. Like, there are certain opportunities for it. And I think that athletes need to, at least from my perspective, they come in not knowing that, but they need to be educated and understand and practice and then reinforced as to like, this is what you need to do for your body, especially from a carb perspective. Protein gets a lot of attention, rightfully so, but I think I'm now starting to see this wave of athletes who are so protein focused that they're almost sometimes over consuming protein, even for their high protein needs. And then in doing so, they then displace the carbs that they need. So they're eating way too much protein, and then they're not emphasizing enough carbs and experiencing things like fatigue, poor recovery, like low energy, reliance on caffeine. And so a lot of it is like addressing that. Now, when it comes to supplements, the biggest thing that I see is supplement safety. So athletes will see a supplement online, go into GNC or a vitamin shop, walk in, just take the first recommendation. It's quick, it's easy, without actually looking at the label, which for me is kind of concerning, because I'm like, wow, like you just immediately go off of what you see in the front. Like, you don't even look at what's inside of it. Or they can't explain to you what that product does. They just take it because someone at some point told them to take it. So for me, the supplement safety side is huge in the essence of like understanding, especially from a competing athlete standpoint, the ones that get drug tested, knowing that a lot of these supplements are contaminated or can be contaminated. And so looking for the labels that are on the safer side for you to take. We can't guarantee 100% safety, but like very much so likely to be safe because they have been third-party tested. So yeah, supplement safety is huge. And I remember one time I had a fighter that I was working with, and during our call, USADA showed up at their door and like had them pee the cup. So he's like, sorry, gotta go. Like, USADA literally just showed up at my door. Like, they know where you live. Like, they can show up at any time to do their drug testing. So it's a very real thing for, again, high level athletes that get drug tested. So like, supplement safety is huge.
And that is such a significant area that we need to talk about more. And thank you for addressing that. Because you're right. If someone sees something that, you know, such as magnesium, they look at it for like, you know, the calming effects. They just think, okay, mm-hmm. I should just have any one. Which one's good, you know? Mm-hmm. Which brings to my point, I love your reel on the Costco supplements. Do you want to kind of brush over that one?
Absolutely. So I love Costco, I think, just as much as anyone does, but especially any dietitian. And so I get asked this question a lot of, you know, the supplements that I typically recommend are online, but what can I buy in person? Just, I don't know. I like buying things in person too. It's just people's preferences. And when it comes to Costco supplements, I feel like you walk into that health section at Costco and then it's just like, it's literally lines of supplements, lines of pills that you could take, and then like toothpaste, and then all of these different things. And so I made that reel with the intention of, let's bring this to be not so overwhelming with how many options there are, and let's just focus on, okay, what are some things that we can take? So when it comes to the Costco supplements, what I really look for is the USP label or the informed choice label on that. The USP is really the label for a lot of your vitamins, your like vitamin C, a single vitamin. And that's the like test, third party testing that tests a lot of those. Informed choice, informed sport will typically test your protein powders and more of like the sport performance ones. I haven't seen any NSF certified for sport ones at Costco yet, but that's also another one to look out for. So my like hierarchy or decision tree making for supplements is, number one, supplement safety. Does it have that label on it? Yes. Okay. Like, let's continue. If it doesn't, you kind of take the risk of, you could take it and it could very much so not have any contamination in it, but it is more likely to have contamination. So for my athletes, I like to be really safe with that. If I have Gen Pop and they're like really wanting to take one supplement, I'm like, it's fine. Like, as long as you're not getting, you know, drug tested. Then once it has the third party label on it, then I look for, okay, like, what is this actual supplement? Is it a nutrient that I would actually recommend, or is it like not really that beneficial? So for example, like, I think you see like a lot of vitamin C out there, like a B complex, and thinking about my athletes, if they're eating a balanced diet, if they're getting their fruits and vegetables in, they're getting their grains in, their starches, probably meeting both of those pretty well. And both of those are water-soluble vitamins, and that when you reach what you need, you pretty much don't need any more, because then you're just going to pee the rest out. So like those, I'm like, those are good vitamins. You definitely don't want to be vitamin C deficient. You don't want to have scurvy. But like, it's kind of wasting your money at that point if we're prioritizing our food. So I'm like, effectiveness, yes or no. And then after that is dosage, so efficiency. One of the products that didn't make it to the reel is omega-3 or fish oil. I love omega-3, I love fish oil. But the one at Costco, you had to take like 4 pills for it to be of a good dose. And I'm like, just taking 4 pills in and of itself, like, it's not worth it. It's not effective. And there are better products out there. So that was one that I like intentionally left out, because I'm like, yes, omega-3s are great, but the dosage that's in this Costco one is not that high. I think the ones that I put on there, oh my gosh, I'm not even remembering it. Calcium, calcium, magnesium, mm-hmm. and zinc, I think, was in there.
Yes.
And those three together are all three nutrients that are shown to be helpful in the rehab recovery process when it comes to like injury. So will it prevent an injury? No, not necessarily in that case, but it can definitely help support like your recovery process, which is great. I remember one that the very last one, I think I had the Optimum Nutrition protein powder on there. I love that one just as a general, like, it's so easy to find. It tastes good. It's informed choice certified. And again, very accessible. And then multivitamin, just some athletes I have taking it, some I don't. They're getting a balanced diet. It's not worth it. But especially if you have an athlete with a dietary restriction, it's sort of like a catch-all, like just throw it in there, like might as well, can't really hurt. And it is USP certified, which is great. Am I missing one?
You had vitamin D and then Fairlife too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh my gosh. How could I forget? My two faves.
Okay.
So vitamin D, especially for us here in the north, we don't get a lot of sunlight versus like Texas, you know, Southern California, Florida, like lots of sunlight out there. But vitamin D is just very difficult to get in through your diet. There aren't a lot of vitamin D rich foods. We really get it in through our sunlight. So especially in the winter, it's the winter blues, vitamin D deficiency. And like most people would probably benefit from taking some level of vitamin D. Now, if you're vitamin D deficient, for sure, and that's something that you would like talk to you about with your doctor, but even just like a low level 1 to 2 thousand IUs per day is like, might as well just throw that. It's safe to assume, like, if we're inside all day, we haven't seen the sun in like a month, it's safe to assume that we're probably just not getting the vitamin D that we need to support our bone health, as well as our mental health too. And then Fairlife, I absolutely love. I don't know how they do it. I don't want to know, but they're great in the sense that they are a high protein shake. They're very comparable to the ready to drink shakes on the market, as well as your protein powders, but they actually taste good, in my opinion. I have a lot of picky athletes, just picky people in general. And so you'll often hear that the protein powder is too chalky. It tastes metallic. The texture is off. But this Fairlife is literally just filtered milk. So it tastes like you're drinking chocolate milk, which is awesome. And it doesn't need to be refrigerated until you crack it open. So this is great for a lot of my college athletes who have that tiny little microfridge. And that's the only fridge that they have. This is something that they can keep in like under their bed and then just pull out a couple and you know, chill it before they drink it. And it's super accessible in that way. And then I had a little fun one at the end where I flipped off Prime because I think Prime gets a lot of attention, as you know, they probably did that strategically, but it really isn't a sports drink that I would recommend to my athletes, as it doesn't have the right balance of electrolytes that I would typically recommend for performance. So it's like, if you want a fun drink, like go for it, but it's not necessarily an effective sports drink, in my opinion.
And hearing from my kids, you know, they say everyone has Prime, or that was the big thing back then. So it has gained a lot of popularity in the younger audience within there.
Totally.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I think the thing that kind of scares me with that is, you know, the electrolyte drink, like fine, whatever. But I think especially for like the young developing brain, they'll see that and drink it. And then the brand like association will be with the Prime energy drinks. And anyone under 18 really should not be having caffeine at all. So especially for the younger group, they might be cracking open a Prime energy drink with caffeine, thinking that it's the same thing as like the electrolyte drink. Again, a very strategic business move, but from a health provider standpoint, it's not necessarily the best. And so again, it's not really that effective as an electrolyte. And then for it to sort of prey on these kids, and then like they're then moving on to the Prime energy drinks. Business, again, strong business move, but from a consumer and health perspective, I don't necessarily condone it. It's just interesting. They definitely do target like kids.
They do, yes. And it's interesting. It's funny to hear, like, that's one of the main things that's, what, my daughter's in fifth grade and she's like, they have Prime, they have Takis, they have Nutella mm-hmm. sandwich, and that's their lunch. So,
oh, that's it. Okay. Yeah. Kids are invincible.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I love the kind of like the breakdown, you know, the Cliff Notes version of these supplements, because it can get so confusing. And I agree with you with the omega-3s, because who wants to chalk down four of those gigantic pills and get them stuck in your throat? I would say check out the Costco sardines, because that is, they are so good. They're skinless and boneless. And my family loves them. Two out of three of my kids love them, but we put them on Ritz crackers and then we put a little hot sauce on it. And it is, that's like the default meal when they don't like the meal that I made. And I'm like, hey, that's a pretty good meal. But it has like 1200 milligrams of omega-3s, vitamin D, 20 grams of protein. It's so good.
Try
them out. Yeah. Let me know.
It's a girl dinner. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I have to get that next time. Yeah. Yeah. I, it's one of those things where sometimes at Costco, you know, you just go in autopilot of like, you get the things that you need, but it's always great to hear like different suggestions, because I would definitely try that. That sounds delicious.
I have left them in a bag for one of my friends to try, and I forgot to leave a note. And she's like, I'm guessing these are from you, right? So I'm just I'm just dropping random bags of sardines on people's doorsteps. So
she's like the fairy sardines, yes. The sardine fairy. Yeah.
I'm like, it's so good, and it's just boosting with nutrition. Yum. So there you go.
Yes. I love it. Any opportunity to get fish in, honestly. Yes. Fish, yeah. Especially here in the Midwest, like, we are nowhere near. We're the furthest from an ocean.
Yes, there you go.
Literally. So it's very difficult to get any kind of fresh fish in. I find that even culturally, like, fish is just, like, not a thing here. And so anything to increase fish consumption to get the omega-3s, protect the heart, protect the brain, like, I love it. I'm here for it.
Let's talk a little bit more about those electrolyte drinks, because I think those need to be explained a little bit, like who should be drinking them, which ones are your favorite, and the significant nutrients to look for.
Yeah, yeah, great question. So when I explain the electrolyte drinks to my athletes, the decision-making tree is if you are competing for or exercising for anywhere from 60 minutes plus, you probably need an electrolyte drink. Now, it depends. Sometimes you have like really slow paced practices. So it might be like 60 minutes, but you're not really cranking it, right? Then it's like 90 minutes plus. Like if anything is really that difficult, just anything longer than an hour, really. And sometimes you can make a clinical judgment where sometimes it's like, man, it's not necessary, depending on the intensity level. If you're like an hour or less, just like an hour workout or whatever, you probably can stick with just water. So anything that's in longer or intense, you probably need an electrolyte drink. And for the reason of we lose electrolytes when we sweat, and so we're just replenishing back in to our body in that moment. Of course, you can replenish your electrolytes before and after. We get our electrolytes in through food, but like, it's just, again, easier to do it while you're at practice or in your games. Now, for these competing athletes in that, like, let's say 60 plus group that would need electrolyte, the ideal is that these electrolyte drinks have some type of carbs in it. Because also, once you go past 60 minutes, you're probably going to need some sort of carb drink or carb food while you're working out. You can think about this as the marathoners who do their gels while they're on their run, right? So any sort of long intensity activity, you need to have that fuel source. You can think about it as like your gas tank is running low. So we need to like refuel while we're going. So that way we're not low and then extremely low and like out. Of course, your body, it has a lot of mechanisms in place to break down energy, but it's not going to be as efficient. So it's like, why would you want to go to your plan B if we have your carb sources available? And carbs are our body main source of energy. They love carbs, especially during these longer intense activities. The electrolytes that we're really looking for is sodium chloride, so salt. The other electrolytes, calcium, magnesium, we tend to sweat out too, and potassium, just at a lesser rate. So it's not as prevalent as salt. But they're still there, right? So when we think about our electrolyte drinks, this is like the new trend. There's so many different electrolyte drinks. Now waters are going to say, oh, with electrolytes. So like it's on everyone's mind to like look for electrolytes. But as a strategic athlete, you think, okay, anything less than an hour, I'm good. Water will do just the trick. But if you're seriously looking for the electrolyte drink, you then turn that label around and make sure that it has sodium in it. What you'll often see is electrolyte drinks that only have potassium or like a high level of potassium, and they will market like low salt electrolyte drink. And that in and of itself is kind of an oxymoron. It's not incorrect because potassium is an electrolyte, but from a strategy standpoint, it's not the most prevalent electrolyte that we're sweating out. So it's not as effective because we're not getting our sodium. Like you would still need sodium anyways. You'll see this a lot in like Body Armor, Prime, coconut water, right? They market themselves on the front, electrolyte drink, great for sports, great for exercise. But when you flip it around and look at the label and analyze it, it's not necessarily the best. A good rule of thumb is to look for about 300 milligrams of sodium per 16 ounces. That's like the average sweat profile of people in general. There is no magic number, but like if it's close to that, like you should be pretty good. A lot of the electrolyte powders now are now like above that, like Element, L-M-N-T, they have like 1,000 milligrams, which you're like, unless you're really salt, this is a very like niche scenario, unless you're a really salty sweater, or again, if you're like an ultra marathoner and you have all these like checkpoints to cover, it really is like a very niche group that needs Element. But I think the, you know, weekend warrior who goes on their runs really doesn't need an Element, because you're probably getting sodium in through your Jimmy John's sandwich that you're having every day for lunch, or the pizza that you're ordering. Like, you're getting sodium in through other things. So it's not necessary. I think Element, in my opinion, is really used for those extremely high level athletes, not like the everyday person, unless you are, again, a heavy sweater, but that's something that you would have to distinguish yourself. So with all that being said, there's a lot of decision making as like a dietitian. And so hopefully this just goes to show like how complex it is. I'm not even addressing everything that I'm thinking about, but just like the main things. So looking for about 300-ish milligrams of sodium. If it's 200, it's close enough. If it's 400, that's fine. Like, we don't need to be so strategic about it. We're so picky about it, and then making sure that it has some sort of carbs in it. So usually most of these electrolyte drinks will be around like 20-ish grams of carbs. Just also from a lot of these are targeting endurance athletes, and they know like endurance athletes are very particular, and like they know exactly what they need. The product matches what the average endurance athlete needs. So a lot of good ones on the market. So your classic Gatorade is great because it has sodium, it has your carbs. Liquid IV is I would say next on the market. That's pretty popular. It's more expensive. What I don't love about Liquid IV is that it has stevia. It has a non-nutritive sweetener in it. And thinking about our athletes and when you're competing, you're at a GI compromised state, having something like stevia, which could be potentially, it's, you don't absorb it. So it's more stress on the gut. Like, it's almost adding more fuel. It could be adding more fuel to the fire. So I don't love that. Liquid IV now just came out with a zero sugar one. So I definitely wouldn't recommend that. But it's like accessible. The kids like it. You're like, let's find a happy medium. We're fine. There's a brand called Scratch Labs that I really love. S-K-R-A-T-C-H. Like a itchy scratch, but with a K. They're really great. They're a whole food product. So they're not a supplement. And they're very like GI friendly, like endurance runner focused. But I love them even for my non-endurance athletes, because most athletes will complain of some sort of GI issue. I don't want to feel heavy. I feel heavy. I feel like I have to poop. You know, I'm having stomach cramps, and this is like so easy on the gut. So I love them, their stuff. And I would say the next most popular one amongst my athletes is probably Drip Drop. Mostly because a lot of the teams partner with Drip Drop, so they're just familiar with it. But Drip Drop is also a really great electrolyte option. Those are more so the electrolyte sticks, so you have to have your water and then pour it in, versus like a Gatorade typically is like ready to drink. But even think about that with Gatorade, like there's so many different types of Gatorades. If you're a competing athlete, I would recommend just the regular plain Gatorade, not like a G0 or a G2, because those are the ones that are lower in sugar and is straying away from your goals of what you need in an electrolyte drink.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So it's quite a lengthy decision-making tree. That's why it's kind of hard to answer, oh, which electrolyte drink should I have? It's like, I don't know. We have to answer a lot of questions. Right. But goes to show like how individualized nutrition can be for an athlete.
Thank you for covering that, because I agree with the stevia. I think that's probably a bad choice when you're in hardcore exercise. Like, you don't need more GI upset. And then the Element tea, I've tried that because I got some samples and I like it. Mm-hmm. But when I saw the sodium, I was like, oh my gosh. So I just tried like a half a packet, you know, to kind of break it up a little bit. It still tastes good. Yeah. It's still kind of... I like the magnesium and the potassium concept in there just for like headache type option in there. But yes, I feel like it's a lot on top of a regular diet.
Yeah. And I think a lot of consumers just think, oh, you know, I see some, I don't know, someone online post it, like they use it, I'll use it without even looking. And then it's like, well, I have some athletes who, you know, have family history of heart disease. And it's like, well, this kind of goes against sort of your long-term goals of survival.
Right.
And so like, we need to be just because a thing is marketed towards athletes or healthy or whatever, like, doesn't mean that we always need to take it. I explain this a lot to my kids, kind of to speak on my own point with like Gatorades, is kids will be drinking Gatorades at their school lunch. And they're like, well, I'm an athlete, I drink Gatorade. That's not necessarily the case, because you're just going to go sit in class. So you're not exercising, you're not moving at that time. Do you need that when you're playing your back-to-back soccer games? Yes, absolutely. But like, you don't need to have it when you're in class. So like, there is a time and place for everything. And just because you're an athlete doesn't mean you need to have these athlete products all the time, because you're training for anywhere from 1 to 4 hours a day, but then you're a human for the other 20-ish hours.
Right.
So,
yes.
Yeah. I always like to make that distinction, and I don't blame them. Like, I would think like that too, you know, but it's all about creating that awareness and knowledge around like what you need to eat and why. The why is so key.
Why? I am that mom when my son has basketball tournaments. I'm like, drink your Gatorade, here's a snack.
Yeah.
Like, come on, let's fuel up. And you know, he's like, Mom, nobody else is. I was like, you need it though. Come on, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So
like, this is not just being a dietitian, it's just being a mom at this point. Yeah.
That's my love language, right? Food is my love language. If I can help you make
absolutely.
You feel better or not get like a hit the wall type of a thing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yep, anything. Yeah, I totally feel that. And it's funny, especially with the youth athletes that I work with, their moms will be like, I told you this. And
yes.
like, it'll be the same message. It'll be like, you need to eat during your games.
Right.
And the mom's like, we just talked about this, but they won't listen to their mom, but they'll listen to me.
You bet.
So I'm like,
you bet.
As long as they're doing it, that's what matters in the end. But it's just funny. It's like, she's saying the same thing that I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying anything magical, but they'll listen to me, which, fine by me.
I love that. And do you feel that maybe that is a huge area where expert dietitians, sports dietitians could come in? Because, you know, there's not a lot of good education in collegiate sports, high school sports, where they are at that getting at that higher level. Heck, even any club sport these days, what age it is, these kids are nonstop playing. So do you find that is a area where it needs to have more education?
Totally. I've had plenty of discussions with, especially more on like the coaching side of youth sports, of how almost like these young athletes are being overtrained, and you're like, they're 15. Like, you should be, you know, playing, I don't know, dodgeball, or like playing at the park with your friends. Like, you should not be doing treadmill training at 6 a.m. Like, this is, it's also too much, like, it's too much like load on the kids themselves. Like, if you go to school practice and club practice, like, too many practices. And sometimes even playing one sport for like that often can, there's like a point of like a diminishing return. Super interesting. But anyways, that's more of a global problem to solve and save for another day. But when it comes from a nutrition standpoint, I absolutely think that this is a huge area for dietitians, because when we think about it, like, to be fair, like, these kids are worried about, you know, they want to play in college. And so that starts from getting, you know, good camps when you're in high school. And to get into a good camp in high school, you need to be good at middle school. And it's like, you need to know what sport you're going to play when you're 11 years old, which again is another thing to tackle. But like, but the thing is, you do have these kids who are so, like, they're so into their sport, which is awesome. They still think it's fun. They like the competition. You know, they're very aware. And then they're also just seeing what people are doing online and their training. So there's just a lot more awareness these days. And so what I always like to say is, everyone's thinking about their strength and conditioning. They're thinking about their club practices. But like, how many people are thinking about their nutrition in an effective manner? People are thinking about it, but they're doing it in a prime or a fasting or a, you know,
Celsius,
a fad way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alani, Celsius. All those types of drinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, if you notice, all those brands are very colorful, very attractive to kids, just like how you would with like toys. Like, toys are very colorful and attractive and like shouting at you, basically. It's the same sort of thing. So who's really thinking about their nutrition? And when I talk about this with the parents, it's like most parents of student athletes were athletes themselves too. So it's like, think about when you were at this age, you know, and you probably weren't eating, and you know, we want to support your child, and think about all the injuries that you had and how this could have been prevented. And, you know, every parent that I've met with has had such great intentions for their kids, whether it's received that way or not. Like, it's hard to say, but like most parents really just love their kid. They're just trying to throw everything they can to make sure that they have the best outcome that they can get. And it's like thinking about long-term, like you don't want your kid to have chronic bone fractures because they didn't fuel right when they were children. And when they're 40, they don't grow bone anymore. Like it's really a long-term investment, if you will, but like thinking about all these different things that your kid won't have to deal with in the future because they got their nutrition right when they are competing at such a high level at 15 or whatever it may be. So like, and conveying to the parents, and most parents resonate so much with that of like, they want their kid to live a long, full life. You can't do that when you're injured. So like being able to explain that to the parents, I think is huge. And then like you'll often, there's layers to this, but you'll hear, you know, the parents just like, they want the best for their kid, but then they also need to be a good role model for their kids. So I'll have often student athletes who, you know, I'm recommending one thing, but the parent's doing another, and the parent's like, well, why isn't my student athlete doing it? And I'm like, well, what are you doing? And they're like, oh, they're like, I did not need to be put on the spot like that. I'm like, well, it's kind of a family affair. We have to do it all together, yes. Right? They, regardless of what I say, they meet with me for 30 minutes. They see you for the other 23 and a half hours of the day. So like they are watching you, and you are their role model. So I think it's a huge area for dietitians. I think, I'll be honest, I don't even like, I wouldn't say I'm like a kid person, like I'm not that, but even like with these student athletes, like they are people, and it's really great to like support them in like the growth time of their life.
Yes, 100%. Christina, where can people find you and connect with you?
Yeah. So you can find me through a quick Google search or on Instagram at Christina Y Chu. That's also my website, ChristinaYChu.com. And then I also have a Patreon, which can be found at patreon.com/ChristinaChuStudios. And it essentially is a place where you can get weekly episodes as well as bi-monthly nutrition drops, ask nutrition questions. It's a really great community if you're interested more in sports nutrition, and if you learn best, you know, via listening. It's a great place to be.
So much great information, and your reels are amazing with, you know, breaking down and simplifying nutrition and just cutting out the BS of everything. So thank you for exactly. just giving us the information we need.
Aw, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, it was so much fun getting to know Christina, and I loved hearing about her experience in figuring out the best products to support your nutrition. And whether you're an athlete looking for personalized guidance or a sports team, be sure to connect with Christina on Instagram, and all of her links will be in the show notes. Thank you so much for joining us this week on the Daily Dietitian Podcast.